Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Eric Bowmans, CEO and executive board member of Deminor. Deminor has three core business lines: recovering investment losses through group actions, representing plaintiffs in antitrust claims, and litigation funding. The company has offices in New York, London, Hong Kong, and throughout the EU. Eric, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John.
Hi, it's great to have you with us. We're going to be talking today about recent developments and trends in the continental European market for litigation funding. I want to start with just with a broad overview of the market itself. So how big is the European market for funding? What does the TAM look like? Of course, there are many different ways to calculate the total addressable market. So how do you calculate it? Also, how many funders are operating in the EU and how active are they in terms of making case investments?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, John, on this show. To answer your question, there are no precise data available in Europe about the size of the litigation funding market. And as you said, also very much depends on how you define it. We have conducted our own research and have estimated the total addressable market in Europe at US$1.8 billion, and that's including the UK. I'll come back on that later to see how we divide it up among different European countries. But it's still a relatively small market. It's about 16% based on our research of the total of the global addressable market of litigation funding. By comparison, we estimate that the total addressable market in the US is around $9 billion. So that's around five times bigger than the entire European market. And when we say total addressable market for us, that means the potential for litigation funding. So we get to these numbers by looking at the value of the litigation market, and then we apply a percentage to that, which is the penetration rate of litigation funding in that specific market. Now, if you look at real spending, that's very different from the total addressable market. Real spending is the amount of cash that is invested each year in litigation funding. We're talking about 27% of those numbers in the US, probably lower in Europe. So 27% of 9 billion is 2.5 billion invested in litigation funding in the US on a yearly basis. By comparison, 15 to 25% of 1.8 billion in Europe, that's around 300 million. So relatively small market if you compare it with the US here in Europe. Now, I know that some other observers have come up with much bigger estimates. We think they are exaggerated. For example, it was the Swiss Re study of 2021 estimated the total global litigation funding market at an amount of 17 billion in that was also in dollars in 21, or the American Bar Association came up with a number of 6 billion in 2019, but that was only a segment of the litigation funding market. It's not always clear what they're talking about. Is this the addressable market? Is it money invested in litigation? I understand it's money invested in litigation. We think these numbers are exaggerated. Now, you also asked about who the main players are in Europe. There we have to distinguish between players based in the UK and who operate from there in continental Europe. We have players based in continental Europe and who are active there. And then we have some global players active globally and that are fund cases in Europe. So continental European players, so those based in the continent are, for example, Redbreast in the Netherlands, Legial in Germany, Nivellian in Switzerland, Ivo Capital and Profile both in France, and Litvin in the Czech Republic, and Deminor active in several countries in Europe. In antitrust cases, CDC is a well-known player And then there are, of course, many funders in the UK. Those who are most active in continental Europe are Benchwalk, Augusta, Woodsford, and Insworth. And among global players funding cases in Europe, I would mention Burford, Omni Bridgeway, and Theorem that are most active here in Europe.
Yeah, in terms of the TAM, you know, there's just so many different ways to calculate it. And one of our, actually our most popular article on our site is dealing with how you, all the different ways to calculate the total addressable market of litigation funding. It just goes to show what an interest there is in this subject. So I'm sure a lot of folks are going to be interested in your calculations and just looking at both Europe and the US and Europe more broadly. But you mentioned continental EU, so I want to dive into that. In terms of a country-specific breakdown, you know, I'm imagining most of the activity is probably taking place in Germany and France. Of course, your company, Deminor, has offices in Belgium, in Luxembourg, and Milan. So there must be a lot going on in these other jurisdictions as well. Is that the case? Are we seeing a lot of activity across Europe, or is it mostly siloed in a few different areas?
Yeah, definitely. And we are active in most European countries from these various offices. Within Europe, the biggest litigation funding markets, without any doubt, are the UK and Germany. So if we estimate the total addressable market in the UK at $800 million, the rest of the 1.8 billion, so the remaining 1 billion, is spread out over continental Europe, but with Germany definitely taking the biggest part, and that's probably, we think, around one third. The third most active market in Europe, based on our experience, so after the UK and Germany, is the Netherlands. That's because the Netherlands has traditionally been a hub for collective actions, and many of these cases tend to get funded. We will talk more about collective actions later. And then Scandinavia, Switzerland, Austria are somewhere in the middle, I would say. And then you've got Italy and Spain are strongly emerging with these economies recovering from COVID, and they're looking at alternative ways of funding their working capital. So, and litigation funding is very much on the agenda in these countries these days. And you also see antitrust cases rising in these jurisdictions. Again, you know, we've been talking here about amounts. You've already said it. You know, what does it mean, the total addressable market? We think that yearly real deployments are a fraction of these amounts I've just mentioned, probably in the region somewhere between 15 and 20%. So US dollar 300 million for Europe as a whole that is invested in litigation funding on a yearly basis.
Yeah, and when we look at the broader legal services market and the litigation funding market, we look at both of these markets. So obviously the US has the largest market share worldwide. And then you see the Asia-Pacific region, especially Southeast Asia, that's really expected to grow at the fastest rate over the next 5 years or so. Where does that leave the EU in terms of, you know, globally? What are the drivers for growth here in the EU in terms of both the legal services market and the litigation funding markets going forward?
Yeah, yeah. First of all, you're absolutely right about the Asia-Pacific region. We generally expect strong growth in that region. We're also active there, so we see funding requests rising strongly there. We expect a yearly compound annual growth rate there in excess of 25%, probably the strongest growth rate of any region in the world in litigation funding. Now, we should not forget that the Asia-Pacific market is still very small in comparison with the US and even Europe. So we're starting there from a very small base. We also think that Europe will grow more than the US at a yearly growth rate of around 22-23%. And if you see that over a period of 4-5 years, for Western Europe and Asia Pacific, we see more than doubling of the addressable market, whereas Whereas for the US, we see that five-year growth more in the region of 50% over the full five-year span. Now, in absolute dollar numbers, the strongest growth is still expected to occur in the US, and that's because you're just applying smaller growth rates to adjust to a much bigger base, which gives you, in dollar amounts, a bigger increment. The COVID pandemic initially seems to have caused a slowdown in new applications and deployments, but that slowdown was really limited in time, and levels of activity are now substantially above those pre-pandemic. We have also experienced a more than doubling of the number of applications and new commitments and deployments. And we see that also if we look at the annual reports published by listed litigation funders, they all announced the same very strong growth once economies were getting out of the COVID pandemic. Now, growth of litigation funding is explained by two factors in Europe. I think it's the same everywhere else in the world. First of all, the market for legal services in itself, including litigation, continues to grow. We've done research and we see that most observers come to a growth rate of around 4.4% of the legal services market compound annually. At the same time, the penetration rate of litigation funding is expected to rise. Why? Because companies and law firms increasingly discover the benefits of third-party funding for managing risks and uncertainties in their cash flows. So there is just a huge growth of awareness of the benefits that litigation funding can bring to a business, whether it's big or small. That's really the main driver, I would say, of growth in litigation funding in Europe.
Yeah, so that's great. There's definitely a lot of growth on the horizon. Let's look at the other side of the coin, though. What are some of the main barriers to investing in the EU litigation funding market specifically? Is it civil law jurisdictions, cost-shifting regimes there, or maybe just how the justice systems operate in the respective countries? Can you shed some light on the challenges for us that funders face in this market?
Yeah, so generally speaking, it's a relatively liberal environment. We don't know theories like champerty and maintenance, which prohibit third parties from encouraging lawsuits or exercising control over them. So litigation funders have more freedom to exercise consent rights in specific cases. There are, however, important pitfalls, and as you say, Europe is a highly regulated market in general, and litigation funding contracts may become invalid when they come into conflict with some mandatory rules in highly regulated areas such as consumer protection or financial and legal services. And some funders here in continental Europe have experienced problems when they came into conflict with some of these mandatory rules. I can just give you a few examples. In certain jurisdictions like Germany and France, legal advice can only be provided by practicing lawyers. And so the question then arises, when a litigation funder provides certain recommendations or has discussions with lawyers about a case with clients, can this be considered as legal advice? One of the areas where litigation funding in Europe has been scrutinized most is in antitrust cases, where some funders have used the assignment model to structure their litigation funding agreements. Like in a trucks case, a German court decided that such an assignment of claims was done in breach of the German Legal Services Act, and therefore the court considered the assignment of claims to be null and void. And it wasn't only the assignment that became null and void, but the lawsuit itself. So the issuing of proceedings was considered to be null and void, and the claim was immediately dismissed. And even though that decision was limited to assignment of claims, its potential effect was to create more uncertainty for litigation funders in general, more in particular with regard to what they are allowed to do under the German Legal Services Act. Now, in the meantime, this decision has been reversed by the German Federal Court of Justice, but we still see some lower courts prohibiting this assignment model, and so there's still some uncertainty there. Then in 2021, the German Legal Services Act was reformed, and that has brought additional relief to the litigation funding sector. So I'm just giving you this as an example to show that it is in general a liberal environment, but there's some pitfalls, and funders really have to be careful when they come to the European market and really prepare their cases and the litigation funding agreements very well. We've also seen some bar associations in Europe that have published their opinions and recommendations regarding litigation funding. And generally speaking, we see an increasing trend towards recognition of litigation funding, which is something positive. Not that it was prohibited, but just now we have some explicit confirmation that bar associations also see it as something positive. These certain challenges they are there, and they've led to some uncertainty. But they've also, thanks to certain legal reforms, helped to, in the end, create more legal certainty for the sector. And we think the emergence of a more regulated environment for litigation funding is coming, and that trend will continue in the following years.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Funders certainly face regulatory hurdles, regulatory challenges in Europe. Of course, the other side of that coin is when you have a strict regulatory environment like as exists in Europe, then you have more opportunity for legal services more broadly, right? Because you have businesses that are regulated in a lot of ways, which they just aren't in the US and in other areas. So for example, you know, there's an ongoing battle to regulate social media and protect user privacy in Europe. It's sort of happening globally, but it's really Europe is taking the lead on that. You mentioned a lot of antitrust and IP claims happening all over Europe in multiple jurisdictions. So how does the EU's regulatory environment present growth opportunities for litigation service providers? And also I want to ask you specifically about Debmenor and your business. How does the regulatory environment provide your business with growth opportunities?
Yeah, that's a very good point. The pandemic has led to an accelerated adoption of new technologies, and those uses of new technology are becoming increasingly regulated. So those two factors combined have already given rise to litigation. We see especially collective litigation in countries such as the UK, in the Netherlands. Think of cases against TikTok, Google, Facebook for breach of privacy, violation of the so-called European GDPR rules, which are very strict. And antitrust is the next big area of growth, as you have rightly said. And here also, in this area, the UK and Germany are taking the lead, with Italy and Spain becoming increasingly active in that area as well. Now, I must immediately add that these cases give rise to a lot of novel law issues, some of which still need to be tested by the highest courts and national member states of the EU, or even by the European Court of Justice. So the results of these cases are likely to remain mixed until we receive more clarity from those highest courts on these several novel law issues. Litigation funding, we all know that in general is a risky business, but this is especially true in these new areas of growth, emerging areas in litigation funding. So definitely there are new opportunities there for litigation funders, but it will be important, very important for funders to pick the right cases there. And that's also what we've been doing. You asked about us as a funder, how do we look at this? we see opportunities there, especially in collective cases. But due diligence, doing the right due diligence on these cases is very important, and being very selective, especially at this stage where there's still a lot of uncertainty surrounding these cases.
Yeah, I want to switch over and ask about fundraising for a moment, because here in the U.S., you know, funders have been able to tap pension funds, hedge funds, other large institutions for fundraisers. I'm wondering if there's the same level of interest in litigation funding amongst the institutional class in Europe. This is an alternative asset after all, so I'm just wondering, how is it being viewed by the EU investor class?
Yeah, no, here it's very different. The market is much less mature here. It's still considered as something new, something risky. Investors are not yet as comfortable with it, I think, as in the United States. And that's also because there is a less track record available than in the US. Less track record means more perception of risk, and that's, of course, only normal. Also, the ticket sizes here are smaller because the market is smaller. So the big guys are likely to be less interested, right? They will look at opportunities as from minimum 30 to 50 million, and some will be talking about 100 or 200 million, and that's much more difficult to find here in Europe. So most investors in companies active in litigation funding in Europe are of the alternative type, like structured credit departments of medium-sized hedge fund, that type of investors, or high net worth individuals. I think it will take more time for traditional institutional investors to become interested in litigation funding here, although I expect it to happen as the market will become bigger and will mature.
Yeah, and so final question here for you. We have, unfortunately, it looks like we're having some difficult economic and geopolitical situations that are looming right now, hanging over us. I mean, who knows how things are going to develop, but it's not looking so great at the moment. What are your predictions for how the EU litigation funding market develops over the next few years? On the one hand, we could say that there might be a boom in cases, the legal services market increases in the wake of a recession, which is what happened, you know, post Great Recession. So, on the one hand, you might say there was a boom in cases and a lot of opportunity for growth. On the other hand, potentially funders could be hitting financial roadblocks and might lead to some industry consolidation. So, I just want to get your thoughts on that.
I don't think that the recession that is coming up will slow down the growth of litigation funding. It's strongly growing here in Europe. It's maturing at the same time, but that will go hand in hand with volatility. I think that's still the major issue in itself. Of course, the business is volatile, and however much you diversify as a litigation funder, returns are always likely to be volatile. Now, growth attracts new players, sometimes funded by inexperienced investors, and those new players may be willing to take more risks. So we also may see some funders exiting the market as well, as we have already seen in the past, new players coming, some players exiting the market. The barriers of entry are definitely rising, and much of that rise of the barriers of entry is driven by regulation. Regulation of litigation funding in Europe is, I think, unavoidable. My personal view is that litigation funders should see it as an opportunity, not as a threat, although we've seen some proposals from the research department of the European Parliament, and they were a little bit frightening. That's what happens when regulators start looking at a new sector. But I'm sure that, you know, we can come to something reasonable in Europe. And if regulation is reasonable, it can help the industry become more mature and give more confidence to investors and other market players on the longer term. So I think it can be a good thing, but it will definitely lead to a rise of barriers of entry. And finally, there will be roadblocks, and funders will need to be agile and to adapt. I've given you the example of the what happened in Germany, and some litigation funders really suffered big losses on those cases. They can, of course, try to recover them. But on the long run, I think the industry is here to stay and will continue to grow, presenting opportunities to responsible funders willing to take a long-term view. I think that's clear. It's really key to doing business here on the continent, playing according to the rules of the game and showing humbleness and reason, showing concerns for issues that regulators are raising. Aggressive funding practices, I think, are not really welcome here, as some may already have experienced. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say about that question.
Yeah, so definitely a lot of opportunities on the horizon, and it's great to have that glasses half full perspective. You know, when traditional asset classes suffer a bit, you know, alternative asset classes like litigation funding definitely look more attractive to investors. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops over the next few years. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today and share your thoughts on the European market. It's an area we don't cover enough, and I'm glad you could really dive into it deep with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, John, for having me. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you want to learn more about Eric and Deminor, you can visit them at their website, www.deminor.com. That's DEMINOR.com. Thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Litigation Finance Podcast.